follower of Jesus Christ, so you're welcome to join with us. And also, there will be a survey going out this week, as we had talked about going to two services during September, and there'll be information on there. Right now, we're looking at 8:45 and 10:30, and there'll be some information in that survey. But we're excited about that, because that means come September, we have a problem that we don't have enough seats for the amount of people. So make sure you look at that survey, because we're going to have questions like, hey, what service are you going to come serve at? And how are you going to help out? So good stuff, exciting stuff. And we're in a sermon series called Jeremiah, The Way of the Exile. And I'm going to do something that I've done several times throughout this sermon series, is I'm going to invite you to use your imagination. Use your imagination as we travel to the potter's house. And by potter, I don't mean Harry. I mean the guy that molds and shapes clay. So we're going to journey to the potter's house with Jeremiah. So Jeremiah chapter 18, it's going to be on the screens. There's a blue Bible under the seats in front of you if you need one. And if you don't own a Bible and you would like a Bible, you can take home that blue Bible. Nobody will stop you at the door. So Jeremiah chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. The Bible reads as such. It says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good for the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me, 'O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter has done, declares the Lord? Behold, like clay in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster I intended to do to it. And if any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it, and it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will relent of the good that I had intended to do it.'" So if you would travel anywhere in the Bible lands today, probably not a good time to do so at this moment, but if you were to travel, what you're going to find at almost any biblical site would be an abundance of pottery. An average size excavation team collects roughly 10,000 pieces of broken pottery every day as they're digging. So here's my guess. This is not the first time Jeremiah has had need to go to the potter's house. This is pretty common. And those of you that have dishes, anybody like that, you ever drop those and they break? So I'm guessing he's been there a few times. But I'm guessing also this might be the first time that he's gone there specifically to hear the voice of God. And so I want us to do something as we're using our imagination. Join him. Just say, okay, God, speak. And as you're there in your imagination, if you know what clay smells like, kind of have that smell in your head. What does the clay feel like? What does it look like? As you know, what is the artisan doing with his hands? What is God doing? And if you think about Scripture, how many times like does Scripture invite us to see God as a judge or a ruler, a writer, a teacher, a farmer, a builder? Well, today we're looking at God as this artisan that is crafting something. And this particular artisan is working with his medium. He's forming and he's shaping. He's shaping individuals. He's shaping nations. And he's shaping kingdoms. And there's great care and great intentionality. And there's this incredible reminder that God is doing something. He's active. Now, let me just say something before we go forward. I don't want us to miss the context. This chapter and the next are in the midst of God's judgment. This is a moment of judgment. Most of Jeremiah is judgment. I don't want to sugarcoat that. Things are really bad. I mean, this nation of Israel is divided into two kingdoms. And this was to be the people that God says, okay, you're supposed to look at this nation and you're going to see what it's like to be in relationship with me. And they're divided. And in fact, they're about to go into exile. So things are really bad. And then in this moment of, I'm just going to say despair, we have this incredible hope that is mixed with this intimate bond of creator and creation. And then this sober warning of God just basically saying, hey, you can't ignore me forever. You need to respond to what I'm saying. So let's go on a field trip today. Let's see what we can glean. So in verse 3, it's fascinating. I love how this just starts out. We find the potter at work. First thing he does, he comes in. He says, go down there. I'm going to speak to you. And he says, so I went to the potter's house, and there he was working at his will. And I want to remind us of something today. God is at work. God is at work. In the midst of confusion, of disobedience, of broken lives, broken dreams, God is at work. There's this reminder that the potter's not confused. He's not worried. He's not wondering what to do. He's there working out his will, or working at his will, or we could say God is working out his will. Go ahead and put that up there so everybody's good with the spelling that I'm talking. Click. There we go. All right. Just in case I pronounce those two the same. God is working out his will. God is at work. And in the midst of everything's going on, like, oh no, it's so bad. Okay, he's right there. He's working. And there's a couple of things I really love about this picture. Is one, it's not an isolated depiction of God. Isaiah says this, Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter, and we are all the work of your hand. I just think that's an incredible picture. You know, who are you? I'm the work of God's hand. You know, that's pretty cool. The New Testament, Paul asked this question, kind of rhetorical. Romans 9:21, has the potter no right over the clay? Yeah, of course he does. To make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use. Think about all the way back in creation, in Genesis. This is just an incredible picture, I think. Genesis 2:7, it says, and then the Lord God formed man out of the dust and from the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. Which brings up the second thing that I really like about this, and I think maybe it's the more important aspect, is God is intimately involved with his creation. He literally is hands-on. Just think of this picture. I mean, because God, we have that in the creation story where God says, let there be light, you know, and there's just boom, there's all this stuff going on. And then all of a sudden, When God speaks of creating human beings, when God creates, when he recreates, and he interacts with human beings, it's very intimate. I mean, the God of the universe, it's like he's down on his hands and his knees. And he's very hands-on, and he's forming us. He's shaping us. And he doesn't just say, he could do this, right? He could just go, now breathe. He doesn't do that. He is hands-on, face-to-face. That's pretty intimate. I mean, do that to the person next to you. You're going to find out how intimate it is. And you're going to find out like, oh, I don't know you. That was inappropriate. All right. This is incredible intimacy. That is what God wants for us. And when you and I are not in an intimate relationship with God, you know what we're going to do? We're going to seek intimacy in very destructive ways. I know I didn't do a scientific survey here, but I can tell you over years of pastoring, I think of my own story. I think of the stories that I've heard from countless people. I've discovered we get in trouble in three areas. It's intimacy, integrity, and identity. I'll just work that backwards. We get into trouble when we don't know who we are. That's our identity. When we forget, oh, he's the potter. I'm the clay. We get in trouble when we don't align ourselves with the truth of who we are and who God is. What is that? That's integrity. When I don't live out the life that I know to be right. And then when we seek intimacy apart from God and his plans for our lives. If you're looking for a recipe of disaster, you're like, hey, I just really want to mess up my life. Boom, I just gave it to you. But the reality is that's where the people are in the text. I mean, again, I don't want to sugarcoat this. The Babylonians are coming in. They're going to wipe out the place. They're going to drag people off into exile. It's really not good. And I did something this week as I was preparing for this sermon. Because I'm not a pottery maker. Anybody else like a pottery person? All right. Okay. All right. Correct me afterwards with all my illustrations. But I watched, or you don't have to, but I watched a handful of videos because I'm like, if I got to preach about it, I need to visually see this. I need to understand what's going on in this pottery shop. And so I watched several videos of professional pottery makers. And one of the things I noticed is how much clay gets on. Do I have a picture up somewhere in there, Seth? Yeah. I noticed like how much clay got on the potter's hands and under their fingernails. And I was listening to this one artist and talk about that over time, clay can discolor her hands. And it gets into all those grooves as small pieces of clay makes its way through the pores, which is fascinating as I'm thinking about that. Isaiah 49:16 says, behold, I have engraved you in the palm of my hands and your walls are continually before me. And I'm thinking about this potter that's working in the clay, and there's this connection between the potter and the clay that even the potter is affected to some degree with what's going on. And we're reminded that God is not a distant deity looking down, going, I sure hope Don gets it together someday. All right? He's not doing that. He's not this distant deity. He's right there. You go through from Genesis. He's in the dirt. He's in the mud. He's in the mess of our lives. I mean, that picture that was up there. I mean, look at the hands. He's not afraid to get his hands dirty. All right? He's very connected with us. Now, don't leave here and say, well, Don thinks God's hands are stained from working with us. I don't know that they are. What I do know is the resurrected Jesus had nail-pierced hands. Okay? I do know that he is intimately connected. Verse 4 says, and the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do. So what does the one with nail-pierced hands do? Well, God can fix broken lives. I mean, look, I've been there. I've been there in that place where I'm like, I've messed up too far. Like, and I remember first hearing the message. Well, it wasn't the first time I heard the message. It was the first time I heard the message and said, oh, that's me. I'm the one who's wandered off. I get it. Lord, I'm not like these other people. I'm messed up. Listen, God can fix broken lives. And notice the problem's not with the potter. It doesn't say the potter messed up and did something. The clay was spoiled. And it's fascinating. Just like the potter doesn't panic. He's not like, oh no, what am I going to do with this clay now? What am I going to do with these people now? He reworks it. And my guess is, I mean, there might be somebody in here. How many of you would say, man, my life has just gone perfect. Everything I've planned out, it's worked out. My guess is there's at least moments where you'd say, no, this part of my life, this part of my story went terribly wrong. And there's times that it's not even your fault. Like there's other messed up broken vessels around me that messed up what's going on in my life. And the reality is, and you're looking at somebody right now that has made poor choices. That has made poor choices that has messed up part of their story. The good news is I have a God that's really good at fixing messed up people. And my guess is there might be some people that are saying, yeah, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've thought. You don't even know what I've thought this week. Like, I'd be horrified if my thoughts were put up on the screen right now. I'd just be absolutely terrified. Let me suggest something. God knows those thoughts. God knows what you've done. And not only does he love you and wants a relationship, but he's the only one that can ultimately heal those broken parts of our lives. And we can bring those to him. It's they're spoiled as it's turning around, and he can rework that. He can do something for in our lives. If you can hear my voice today, you haven't gone too far, and there's hope. And there's hope in the hands of the potter. I want to remind you, the potter's got his hands. There's hope. The potter's got his hands in your life. There is hope. The one who's formed you, the one who knows your innermost being. The clay is still moldable as long as it's in the potter's hand. Now, unlike the analogy, the word picture that he's looking at, we don't just sit there, right? I mean, when I came out of surgery, the doctor said to me, he said, you did a great job. I'm like, thanks. I just kind of laid there. I want to know what kind of job you did. So unlike that situation, we could get up and walk away, right? I've been there. I've done that. And so we can walk away, and we could somewhat ignore the potter. I mean, there's times where I thought I was ignoring the potter, and potter came after me. But this chapter and the rest of the next chapter, and even in this terrible moment, I mean, it's almost like you could hear the marching of the army that's coming in to wipe them out, and God saying, I can still change you, I can still mold you, I can still shape you into the people I'm calling you to be. And what he's asking the people to do is just to repent. And repent is relatively simple. I'm heading in this direction. I'm shaping. I'm forming my own life. I've got the plans. I've got all the ideas. And I've walked away from God. And God's saying, come back. Let me shape you. Let me mold you. I actually know you better than you know yourself. Let me do this. And the writer of Hebrews warns us, Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another every day as long as it's called today. Yeah. This must have a sense of humor. And then that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Which tells me there's hope in a day that's called today. And he's saying, don't let your heart get hardened. Don't let it get hardened where the potter's going, what do I do with this? Where it's no longer pliable, but instead there's hope. There's hope in the hands of the potter. In fact, the writer of Hebrews continues chapter 10, verse 23. It says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You might have been on that potter's wheel for a while and going, well, nothing's happening. Stuff's happening, okay? He's working it out. And can I challenge you, no matter where you are today in this journey, just to say, Jesus, today, because it's a day called today. Today, I give you the rest of my life. Today, Jesus, I turn from my sin. I turn from my sin that maybe I committed this morning. I turn from that. I receive what you did for me on the cross. And I choose, I intentionally choose to put myself in your hands. You're the potter, I'm the clay. You do what you want. Because there's hope. There's hope in the potter's hand. Now, in fact, if you're using your imagination right now, think of yourself as that clay. And as the clay, you don't have to clean yourself up. I've met so many people that I'd share about Jesus and they're like, yeah, but I'm a mess. Great. Great. I know somebody that's really good at cleaning up messes. You don't have to make yourself into something. God wants to do that through you. And so think about it. Maybe there is an area of your life that you're saying, yeah, I've got part of my life on that wheel that's turning, but I got a whole bunch over here and I'm just kind of holding on to that. What part needs to come on there? And actually think about that. Think about God actually shaping. God hands-on, face-to-face, intimately, restoring, renewing. Maybe there's something in the clay that's an impurity where you go, yeah, this shouldn't be in here. Hey, God, can you take that out? Can you remove this? Maybe it's that sin that haunts you. And say, God, mold me, shape me, remove this, take this. Maybe if I didn't catch anybody, maybe you have worries, doubts, and fears. And I want to remind you that the potter's there. He's got his hands, not just your life, but the nations, the kingdoms. Okay, he hasn't left. He hasn't walked away. His hands are right there, and he wants to accomplish plans in your life. In fact, this potter has a plan. Isn't that crazy? He's got a plan for your life. Ephesians tells us like this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God had a plan for Israel. God has a plan for my life, for your life. And here God shows himself again as this artisan, and we're his workmanship. In the Greek is poema, which sounds like poem, like God's writing a story, God's telling a story. You're God's masterpiece that he's working through, and he has plans for you from eternity past. And some of you, before you panic, let me just tell you. Those of you who are like, well, I've already messed up all those plans. Let's just pause for a moment and think, you can't outsmart God, all right? You probably didn't. And whatever you did do, he can reshape a spoiled vessel. He can change the destinies of repentant. And the real question is, are you willing to surrender to Jesus? I had a doctor's appointment this week, and the doctor basically because I asked him about like physical activities, and he said you could do all of those. I'm like, no, seriously, because like I don't know this middle ground. Like, I'm either going to do this or I'm not. And if you think it's a bad idea, just tell me no. Stop me right now. And he said, I didn't do surgery on you so you can sit on the couch. Okay? God did not make us. God did not reshape us. God did not work in our innermost being so we could sit on the couch. Okay, God has a plan for you. He is purposeful. He is intentional. And it's not just that God is working through you. God is working throughout the world. God is sovereign. And whether we see it or not, he's working through nations and peoples and kingdoms. Verse 5, it says, and then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter has done, declares the Lord. He says, behold, like clay in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. So he's saying, people of God, you're in my hand. And he says, if any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom, so he's saying generically, I can work through all of those. I'll just skip down through. But I'm thinking, At least I would like to think this. Maybe you'd like to think this as well. If I heard Jeremiah come out of the potter's shop and preach, I might be like, Jeremiah, that's an incredible sermon. That's a great illustration, Jeremiah. You knocked it out of the park. Here's their response. Jeremiah 18:18. And they said, come, let us make plots against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise. I don't know who these wise people are. Nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come, let us strike him with the tongue. Let us not pay attention to any of his words. One of the things I really love about Jeremiah is he's just this incredible prophet, and he keeps going. He keeps going when they're like, great sermon, let's beat him up. Great sermon, let's lock him up. So he delivers this message, and God says, Jeremiah, go back to the potter's house. Jeremiah 19:1, thus says the Lord, go buy a potter's earthenware flask and take some elders of the people and some of the elders of the priest. And then Jeremiah is going to list out the sins of the people, including burning their sons to death as an offering to Baal. I mean, if you think idolatry is just kind of like a middle ground, doesn't hurt anyone, here's the logical conclusion of idolatry, right? And, you know, I read that and I'm like, God, you are way more gracious than me. Because I'd be like, no, we're done. We're not doing that anymore. So God then instructs Jeremiah, verse 10, chapter 19. He says, then you shall break the flask in the sight of the men who go with you and shall say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, so I will break this people and the city as one breaks a potter's vessel so that it can never be mended. Men shall bury in Topheth because there is no place to bury. Now, I'll be honest, as I read through this, I'm not sure what never mended. I mean, I know what never mended means. I'm not sure what it means in this context, because we know 70 years later that people did come back to the land. And maybe he's saying it can't be mended by any of you. I'm going to have to intervene because the God who can cause dry bones to live again can fix some broken pottery. But the Bible does tell us, and historical writing of the times tell us that most of these people died. They died when the Babylonians came in, and those that were not killed were dragged off to Babylon for a 70-year exile. Now you think about the lifespan of a person. almost everybody that heard these words died after that. So I look at that and I think, well, for some, that judgment was pretty final. It was right now. And yet, hope beyond hope, God actually brings his people back from exile, which is incredible. And here's where I kind of struggle in this passage. When I first read this passage, I imagine Jeremiah with that flask and just absolutely slamming that thing on the ground and just letting it shatter and going, this is what God's going to do to you guys. And I reread it. He might have done that, but nothing in that passage indicates that. And especially think about a couple weeks ago where Jeremiah, he's saying, I wish my head were full of water for all the tears that I have for my people. So I don't think that's how it went down. I don't think he slammed it and said, you, that's you. I don't think it went that way. It's a piece of pottery. You know what you have to do for a piece of pottery to break? Drop it. I kind of imagine Jeremiah preaching these words, tears coming down. He's broken and he faces the people. I imagine that hand just slowly opening. Give him a moment. Go, what? Stop, Jeremiah. Slowly opening. It just drops. I would have brought in a piece, but I don't want to clean up afterwards. God likes cleaning up. I'm different. There's a difference here. Jeremiah 18 has hope. You know why? Because it's still in the potter's hand. Jeremiah 19 is different. It's out of the potter's hand. It's almost as if God's saying, I want a relationship with you. I want to be with you. I want to make you into something glorious. I want to do something to your life. But if you want to go your own way, I'll let you face those consequences. I'll let you do that. And Ezekiel 33:11 says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from his ways, turn back from your evil ways. Oh, why will you die, O house of Israel? Church, there's hope in a day called today, and there's hope in the potter's hand. Let me pray, and then we'll have communion. Father God, I am so thankful, Lord. I'm so thankful that you can fix broken vessels. You can work the clay. And Father, I pray today that we would find that hope in your hands. That if any choice we make today, it would be a choice to be in your hands, to allow you to mold us, to allow you to shape us. Lord, be glorified in our lives. It's in Christ's name we pray.